Hey, everybody, what's going on? It is Raph. And before we get into all of that juicy music news, I have something to tell you about. Talk's new album, Chaos Companion, is out everywhere on September 24, which was a few days ago. So it's out now. The quartet spent 2020 stretching themselves sonically, leading into a sense of possibility that came with an empty calendar and letting it guide them toward uncharted territory. The resulting songs push Talk's sound to bold new heights, fusing elements of progressive rock, funk, soul, EDM, and hip-hop into a melodic, groove-driven blend. They hit the road to support the album on September 30th, including an October 2nd at where? You know it's the Brooklyn Bowl. You know it's one of my favorite venues in the world. Tour dates now at talkband.com, TAUKBAND.com. Check it out. Hello, and welcome to 3 from the 7, Relix's weekly news podcast chronicling uno, dos, tres, one, two, three of your biggest news stories from the last 7 days. What is up, everyone? My name is Raph Kenny Sincotta. I am the associate editor at the one and only Relix magazine, and I am joined via satellite by the baddest thing on four strings. Maybe you saw her at Brooklyn Comes Alive. Maybe you've seen her with Marco Benevento. Maybe you've seen her just trucking down the street in the greatest city of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Karina Reichman!
Yeah! What's up? How we doing? How we doing?
What's going on, KR?
Yo, I'm feeling good, feeling great. How are you? What's going on?
I'm good, my friend. I'm good. It is another week in the music world, and there is so much going on. I actually briefly mentioned to Karina that I just saw My Morning Jacket, so I am feeling very satisfied, my music desires have been finally quenched after so long. Karina, you actually played a show this past weekend and, you know, hit the ones and twos as a DJ, so we've both had our live music fix in the last few days.
I love to hear that for both of us, you know? It's just such a great, it's an amazing thing, you know? And I don't know, like, for me, just, like, the crowd that I, like, that was, it was a pretty big crowd. How was the Jacket crowd? I can only imagine rather large.
Jacket was popping. It was at the Greek Theater in Berkeley. It was my first time. It was funny. We parked on like one side of the UC Berkeley campus. So me and my boyfriend had to like walk through campus, which felt very strange and very like I jumped back in time and was in college again. And then the show was sold out. It was beautiful venue, outdoors, good vibes. Oh, shout out to Kelly Armstrong, who is a, you know, long time jam scene kind of chick that I always cross paths with. I get into the Greek, Jacket's about to go on. I cross paths with Karina and my friend Ricky Blakesburg. Ricky's in the VIP. I am not. So I'm kind of in dire straits here. It's a GA crowd, right? Out of nowhere, I hear, is that Raph? Raph, is that you? This woman, Kelly Armstrong, who I've met at a few shows, I know through like the Capitol Theater, the Brooklyn Bowl, she follows me on Instagram. She grabs us out of the crowd and gives us a choice spot right in the GA. And I was like, oh my God, if this is not a testament to how the jam scene is a beautiful ecosystem of people looking out for each other, I don't know what is.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it. That makes my heart swell with unfathomable joy, really. That's fantastic. We got to get Raph out of Gen Pop. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are a precious commodity, and, you know, next thing you know, you're going to get one-eyed people with glitter all over them trying to rip you limb from limb, and we just can't have that, Riff. We have to protect you. So somebody get this woman a bodyguard or something, because it's a whole to-do.
I didn't know. My boyfriend tried to tell me. I did not expect. So, like, the Greek Theater is GA the entire venue. So that includes the floor. That includes the bowl. So, like, I was expecting it to be, like, a loose kind of, like, chill experience. It was like people were holding these spots down, my friend. I was very grateful for Kelly and Ricky to kind of corral me into an area where I had some decent concrete seats to enjoy, but it was the Wild West out there. I'm not gonna lie.
Hey, don't lie. No, listen, we're happy that you made it, and you know, any opportunity to see Jacket, one should probably take. I will stand and die on that sword, and I'm so glad that you got to see our friend Ricky and what was her name, Kelly Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our friend Kelly Armstrong. Thank you for taking care of the most precious commodity in the jam world, Rafaela Kennedy Cincotta. She's very important. She needs to be, you know, cared for. So thank you.
And
the last
thing I'll say about the jacket show, Karina, is that guess what they opened with?
Tell me right now.
One Big Holiday.
Ah!
Opener. Right?
It's a hot opener. It's a red hot opener.
It was my first show since November 2020, where I saw ALO out here at Terrapin Crossroads. So a super small, like, ALO show where I was, like, so super distanced because the pandemic was still very much, no one was vaccinated yet, blah, blah, blah. Then before that, I was at MSG for the Brothers in March 2020. So, like, this jacket show was my first real, like, show since the pandemic, basically.
Wow.
And for them to open with One Big Holiday, I was just like, yo, I could leave right now. Like, this is everything I wanted and more. So shout out to Jacket.
I love that. Come on. And it's at the Greek, which I've never been to, but like, get me to the Greek, y'all. Like, yeah. I need to come. I'm coming out. I need to get myself there. What the fuck?
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
And I'd be remiss not to mention that My Morning Jacket is on the cover of Relics right now. And if you order or subscribe to Relics by October 12, you will get that issue in your mailbox as your first. So head over to relics.com/MMJ and read the My Morning Jacket cover story. So that kind of sifted perfectly. And then, Karina, before we jump into the news, how are you? You did Brooklyn Comes Alive this past weekend. You've been chugging along in the studio. Give me an update from Karina Land here.
That is all accurate, Raph. I I'm not going to lie to you. I was like a little nervous for the Brooklyn Comes Alive, more of the DJ sets than my own band set. Cause that's like, you know, I totally used to DJ a lot, but since the pandemic's kind of not been the case, you know, and my band's played a lot, but you know, kind of had to dust off the old CDJs and get it popping. And I had many sets to play. I had like 3 30-minute sets and 2 45-minute sets, and it was just like, damn, that's a lot of music, especially if you just play a verse and a chorus of everything, you know what I'm saying? So it was but it was awesome. It was a beautiful, awesome day and night of music at the Brooklyn Mirage, which for those who don't know, it's a crazy space. You feel like you're in either Miami or Las Vegas, but you're literally in a car, you go over the Williamsburg Bridge, it's like 8 minutes away. So it's totally like East Williamsburg, not far at all. And they took fantastic care of us. It was a beautiful thing. And my band played a set, then Break Science Live Band, the Motet, and 2 sets of the Disco Biscuits. And I got to DJ every set break. So that was, it was really fun. I had a total blast. And my parents came. A lot of friends were there, a lot of our mutual friends, Raph, and it was awesome. So now here I am, and I'm playing with Marco in Pittsburgh this coming weekend at a festival that I don't recall the name of. So see you there. And this week I spent yesterday, which was Monday, recovering, because that was a, Brooklyn Comes Alive all-day event, it took all of my energy, and I was so pleased to have a Monday to be able to, you know, just take it real easy. I went to Pilates.
Oh, there you go.
Walked around. I ate a lot of smoked salmon. I was like, this is just great.
That's awesome. Did you do the Pilates machine?
I have my guy. Oh, you know what? Shout out to my guy, Stephen Williams, NoHo Pilates. I've been going for... it's got to be 6 years at this point, you know, and he works one-on-one with me. He'll work one-on-one with you. It's Broadway between Bleecker and Houston for our New York City listeners. If you have anything going on in your body, go see my man, Stephen Williams. He has set me straight on every occasion, and you know that my lifestyle doesn't exactly, lead to great posture, great skin. Well, that's neither here nor there, but you know what I mean? I just totally, I bust my body left and right on stage, you know, all the time, and I'm hunched, and I'm in planes and trains and automobiles going to the gig, and then I go absolutely crazy on the stage, and then I do it all over again, and it's just like, you know, a lot of wear and tear on the physical form. So, couldn't recommend him more. He's the best human ever, and I texted him in a, my half sleep on Monday morning, and I was like, do you have any openings today? And he was like, how's 1:15? And I was like, yes, I'll be there. So That all worked great. And yes, it is. There's the reformer, the springs. That's all I do, folks. No gym, no cardio, except, you know, I live in the city. And when I'm home, I get to walk, 15,000 steps a day just by virtue of living here. I love to walk everywhere. And it's a beautiful thing. So, yes, that's all I got. And now this week, working on music. Looking forward to getting a little home life and then getting a little, I'm out there on the weekends, Raph. I'm the weekend warrior these days. So it feels good.
It's a beautiful thing. So there's a lot going on in Karina's life, a lot going on in my life. And there's a lot going on in the music world, which brings us to our first story of the week. Brooklyn Bowl Philadelphia has announced their grand opening. Karina, the Brooklyn Bowl empire expands to new horizons. What's your take on this? Does Philadelphia need another venue? Let's discuss.
Yo, well, congrats to our Brooklyn Bowl friends and family and arbiters of all good things. This is wildly exciting news. It's always great to see them expand the fleet. And I'm excited to check this out, Raph. I mean, it comes with, an opening celebration on November 4th through the 6th. It's in Fishtown, right next to the Fillmore, which I played once with Marco, opening for the Claypool Lennon Delirium, which I remember fondly as one of the finer evenings of my existence. That was so fun. So that is very exciting. And, oh my God, there's such good music. They have Auntie Ballas, The Slip, Talib, Yola, Lettuce, all kinds of stuff coming up. And just November 4th through 6th is Bowl Live, by the way, with George Porter Jr. And that's a great way to kick open a new bowl. It's the most bowl thing ever.
Exactly. Exactly. And funny enough, I'd heard that this lineup is what was supposed to be the lineup for the Nashville Bowl when it opened, when its opening was basically timed right with COVID. So then it kind of got scrapped. And then Old Crow ended up doing the opening. But this kind of George Porter Jr. with Soul Live was supposed to be the Nashville opening act. So it's cool that they were able to kind of christen a new ship of the same fleet, so it were. And it's cool. I mean, the way the story goes is that, fearless leader Pete Shapiro was, I think, at a show at the Fillmore and peeked his head next door. And there was an abandoned bowling alley, or not abandoned, but a defunct, rundown bowling alley. And he was like, oh, damn, I own bowling alleys, and then ended up making this the Brooklyn Bowl Philadelphia, which is super cool. I mean, actually, here's a cool question for us to mull about. Karina, what city would you like to see a Brooklyn Bowl in that there's not one already?
San Francisco, so I could come visit you.
Amen,
baby.
Dude. Yeah. I was like, yo, bring it to the Bay Area, dude. Even I'll take Oakland. That would be sick. Bring it to the
Absolutely.
West Coast. Let's go, NorCal,
a
Brooklyn
little
Bowl.
West Coast. Yeah, I mean, of course, you think of NOLA, but then you're also the classic NOLA venues. Let's just what is it? Let sleeping dogs lie. Know what I mean? Let's just we don't need to fuck with that ecosystem anymore because they have it so down pat down there. It feels from DBA to the Nile to Tips. You name it, there's so many small clubs in New Orleans. It's the best thing about it. So let's keep the Brooklyn Bowl out of there, but let's bring it to the Bay Area because that is great. And it can use, an injection of Chappie vibes. I think that's fantastic. But,
Absolutely.
Honestly, they should have one in every state. Let's be honest, people. Let's be honest. There are not enough staff members in the world, but I think it would be absolutely fantastic. I love the product. I love the music that they're, bringing to the table as always. And, it's our home away from home, Raph. It really is. So
it is.
May there be more of them.
I miss the bowl dearly. It's one of the things I miss the most about New York. So to have a little piece of New York out here would be cool. So if Pete's listening, I'd be happy to help scope out a new venue out here in the Bay Area. But in the meantime, Brooklyn Bowl Philadelphia opening November 4th through 6th. Get your tickets now, folks. Moving on, second story of the week. Michael Stipe of REM has said that the band will never reunite. Said it pretty firm on WNYC last week. He did the interview kind of as 10 years, since the band kind of dissolved. And the interviewer had said Rolling Stone had surmised that there was like a decent chance the band would reunite. And Stipe totally squashed it, saying, "That's wishful thinking. We will never reunite. We decided that when we split it up, it would be really tacky and probably money grabbing, which is the impetus for that type of thing for a lot of bands." Karina, are you like a big REM fan? I mean, they're an Athens band. I always tell people, like, you know, Athens birthed Widespread Panic, REM, and the B-52s. So there must be something in the water that makes people incredibly creative. I'm wondering if you're an REM stan or not.
You know, it's very funny that you asked that, Raph, because, you know, I feel like we've talked about this before. There are very few bands that are seminal, which I would absolutely call REM a seminal band, that I dislike. You know, I can find a lot to like in most things, except I'll tell you right now, Cat Stevens. No, not
really?
For Karina. If I have to hear the damn Peace Train, no, there's no that. None of
wow.
it.
Wow.
No.
Have you ever have you ever seen Harold and Maude?
I have seen Harold and Maude, yes.
Because I feel like that's like, nope. he's if you like the movie, but you don't like Cat Stevens, it's like saying you like macaroni, but not mac and cheese, you know?
I mean, I like Harold and Maude as much as the next guy, but I'm not like, oh my God, Raph, let me tell you about Harold and Maude.
Oh,
you know
man.
What I mean?
Okay, to each their own, but I find that surprising, but go on, I'm sorry.
It is. No, I know, it's a deep cut for me. And, you know, I gotta say, you know, as much as I am not an REM big fan by any
really?
Means. Though, when I started learning guitar as a kid, I did used to run around the house playing Losing My Religion on acoustic guitar quite a bit, so I definitely have a soft spot for that. And, you know, what's the frequency, Kenneth? I'm there. I can get behind, you know. But what is it? Shiny, happy people holding hands? Like, somebody kill me. There's no that. Like, you know.
Oh, my
absolutely
God.
Not. Among other things. Like, just gouge my eyes out. Oh, God. So, you know, that is kind of one of my hotter takes. Because I really, really... I like so much music to a fault. Like, I'm so genre fluid. I really do. But I... And so many of my friends love REM, love. And I'm like, that's just, you know, and I also appreciate their Athens-ness, you know. I think Athens, Georgia birthed so many amazing bands, and they're part of that lineage. In fact, they're one of the huge figureheads of that lineage, and that's a beautiful thing. But it's not really for me, Raph. I don't know. I just never really found much to like about it. I think it's wildly intelligent music, and it's cool.
Yeah.
And Michael Stipe, God bless him. I'm not throwing shade. But no, it's not really my thing. And what about you?
Well,
when
this news broke, I put on Out of Time and gave that a spin, which is the band's 1991 record that has all of these songs that we're talking about on it, Losing My Religion, Shiny Happy People. I think it's great. I mean, I think they're not a band I would... Let me find the right way to phrase this. Not a band that I would go out of my way to listen to, like, on the regular, but a band that, like, on a cold, rainy day where I want to, like, inhabit, like, 90s coffee house vibes, I feel like they channel that, like, perfectly.
Right.
Like, REM, totally. Like, Counting Crows, like, that type of, like, you know, I'm going to pretend I'm, like, in college in 1992 and, like... everything. It's like that whole, like, you know, oversized sweater, like, warm cup of coffee energy,
right?
That I feel
well,
like they
have. I go for Pavement and Yola Tango and, like, you know, the Hoodoo
yeah.
Gurus, even, like, over all of that. Like, I don't know, the REM, it leaves me, it I find it so sterile.
Ooh.
I find it so you know, lacking in vibe, that just, I don't know, it's doesn't do it for me.
Wow,
yeah,
Karina.
You know, it's a bold. I'm getting bold here. You know,
I like it
for
though.
All these the hate mail I'm going to receive. It's going to be awesome. It's like,
that's fair.
Karina Reichman, why don't you like REM? Say yes. Tell me you do like REM, and that Shiny Happy People is great. Say it. Say it. That's me being held up at gunpoint by our listeners. Oh God, Karina likes so much music, guys. I'm allowed to not like REM. It's okay, but
that's
you
fair.
Know, in terms of, like, a big rock and roll reunion, that would be a huge one. Let's
yeah.
not front. Let's not, you know, so I understand the implications culturally and beyond that would, you know, bring to the table. It would be a whole to-do. It'd be like, you know, people would be lining up left and right. They couldn't charge enough for tickets. People would be like, let me just, you know, refinance my, you know, whole life and I'll be right there. You know, so that's amazing. It's amazing. And Michael Stipe, bless his heart, means well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw him on a subway in New York once, which is like the most New York shit ever.
That's pretty New York, dude. That's pretty New York. But also, everyone looks like Michael Stipe, so you should, you know. Maybe it wasn't.
That's true, exactly.
No offense. Oh, baby.
And then the one other kind of REM related thing I will say is that I did see, I believe, yeah, I saw Mike Mills of REM sit in with Widespread, New Orleans, Widespread Panic, Halloween 2019, which was super cool. So I did get a little bit of an Athens reunion, although there won't be an REM reunion. So I'll take that over everything, I suppose.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's fantastic. You got to take what you can get. You and me as the hugest REM fans in history. A subway sighting, a sit-in, whatever comes, it's all just fantastic.
Well, I think we'll move on to the next story, which is a band I'm pretty sure Karina likes more than REM. Red Hot Chili Peppers have announced that they are going on tour in 2022. And what makes this tour particularly special is that the one and only Mr. John Frusciante will be back on guitar. Karina, how stoked are you that they're officially hitting the road in 2022? They haven't given out dates officially, but they're saying June 2022 is when this tour starts and U.S. dates starting in July 2022.
Oh, baby. Well, here we go. Let's talk about this. This is great because I was actually recently talking about the Chili Peppers and how, you know, I first of all, massive fan. And it's a shame to me in my head, like somewhere along the line there, sort of post Stadium Arcadium and right around Stadium Arcadium, mm-hmm. I feel like it became very cliched, very mainstream. You know, you go to Guitar Center, you see the kid in the Red Hot Chili Peppers t-shirt playing Can't Stop Poorly on, you know, a $400 Ibanez. And you're like, okay, let's all settle down here. You know what I mean? It just became a little not cool to like the Chili Peppers. You know what
it's
I
true.
Mean? And like, which is such a shame because, oh my God, Raph, like, yes. Yeah, I'll say it right here and right now. I think the Red Hot Chili Peppers are one of the, you know, most incredible bands to walk this earth. I mean, they really, every position, you know, Chad, amazing. Flea, amazing. Frusciante, amazing. And we know Anthony Kiedis is amazing. Like, it's unbelievable. And I am most certainly a huge fan. And I was just talking about them with my dear pal. And we were having this exact same discussion. But we were putting on, like, you know, to me, like, Right on Time, This Velvet Glove, I Like Dirt, all of Blood Sugar Sex Magik, you know, Mellow Ship Slinky and B Minor, you know, all that. I Like Pleasure Spiked with Pain and Music is My Aeroplane.
Oh, dude.
You know, I'm so in. And of course, you know, it was always cool to be like, oh, well, I love Freaky Styley because George Clinton produced it. You know what I mean? Like, that's still, you know, you were allowed to be a Chili Peppers fan if you said that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But to me, I'm like, yo, I am unashamed. I am unabashed. Like, put on Right on Time. I beg you, our listeners, get right on. It's a song by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Put it on right now and tell me it doesn't do something for
it
you.
Slaps.
It's really
a certified
it literally
slapper.
Slaps. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I'm a total fan. And I remember when Josh Klinghoffer joined the band in place of Frusciante. And I was in like 9th grade, 10th grade. And I was so sad because honestly, John Frusciante, one of the most underrated guitar players in his own right.
Agreed.
In my opinion, like, unbelievable. And by the way, it's amazing solo music that exists that, like, you know, people should take a gander at as well. And, you know, it's no offense to Josh Klinghoffer. He totally plays the parts. He does a great job. Like, it's all great. But there's something, you know, magical about, you know, those four dudes together. And so this is wildly exciting. And I would like to go. I really would like to go. You know, and of course, as a bass player, Flea is unfuckwithable. You know, he just is. It's like, you know, when you're a kid and you're learning how to play bass, you listen to the Chili Peppers and you listen to the bass lines and it does something for you. You hear everything differently when you're picking up a bass and you're listening to the Chili Peppers and you're just like, oh my God, it's unbelievable. So,
Is there like a Flea bass line that is to you like so iconic, or like a Flea bass line that you're just like, how the hell, like you haven't cracked the code on? You're like, I don't know how this guy does this with just two hands.
Well, so many of them, but, and you know, this is kind of a shitty answer because it's a cover, but the iconic, you know, Flea interpretation of the Stevie Wonder, Higher Ground, which is on One Hot Minute, I believe. That is unbelievable. Like, you know, literally the bass intro screwed me up so much as a kid. I was like, oh my God. And then, of course, you realize every other snot-nosed kid is trying to learn that. And you go to Guitar Center and you're just like, oh my God, everybody's playing this, you know, and it came out 20 years prior. Holy shit. It's unbelievable. But like I mentioned, Mellow Ship Slinky in B minor, I believe it is, which is also on One Hot Minute. I don't remember, but that bass line I spent a lot of time on as a kid. And I associate it with Attention by the Raconteurs and Waiting Room by Fugazi.
Oh yeah.
For whatever reason, because those three songs.
I was like
13 being like, these are the greatest songs ever.
just
working so
melted.
Hard. Yeah, definitely, definitely. But so many amazing Flea bass lines. They're all amazing. I mean, Give It Away is absolutely classic. And you hear him on every tune with his own personality, not overdoing it either, being extremely tasteful, but extremely virtuosic. And that's really hard to do, you know, in my estimation. So it's incredible stuff, man. And yeah, you know what? I was listening to Under the Bridge. There's no way that you can't, like, Under the Bridge is amazing. It's amazing. And it's overplayed. You've heard it 100,000 times. Like, that's totally true. But when you break it down, like, and that, I remember learning that on guitar or trying to, you know, because that was sort of a bit of a to-do for me as a kid, like on acoustic guitar, trying to learn that, you know, and they wrote some amazing songs. By the way, oh my God.
Scar Tissue? Like, please.
Scar Tissue.
Dude,
those are
songs that you're saying, like, you know, they feel overplayed because, like, they kind of are in this, like, almost like classic rock radio borderline thing now. Like, you can catch those songs on the radio still, but Jesus Christ, like, Scar Tissue, you catch me in the right mood, I might shed a tear. Like,
absolutely. Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. And for the record, like, you know, I was goofing on Stadium Arcadium, but my God, like, that's only because those songs became so ubiquitously overplayed and, like, you couldn't escape them at the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm talking Danny California.
Snow.
I'm talking Snow. Yep, totally. Soul to Squeeze, is that on there? I think it is. Anyway, all that stuff. Just, those are great songs. Those are, you know, there's one way to slice it, and they're great.
Do you think there's another album in the works, like that the Frusciante's back in the mix? The last record they came out with was in 2016. So I don't know, Karina. Do you think there might be another Red Hot Chili Peppers record with Frusciante in the crystal ball here?
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. That's another, you know, now that John's back, like, that's so cool. You know, it's yet another example of a band that, you know, of course he was gone for a minute, but that's the same dudes since way back. And they have been putting out consistently amazing music since way back when. And what was it? Do you know this? The Catholic Schoolgirls EP? It's got Backwoods on it. It's got Catholic Schoolgirls Rule.
Oh my God.
And it has their cover of Fire by Hendrix. Like, that, as a kid, I was like, oh my God, like, what is this? I feel like I got that off, like, a LimeWire, I was like, oh my God, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Catholic Schoolgirls EP. It's amazing. And it really is. It's absolutely amazing. They have so much style. They have so much, you know, so much funk, so much rock, melody, everything. It's, you know, you got to call spades spades sometimes, and they're a fucking amazing band. I'd love to see them keep making music as the four of them.
Totally. And the cool thing is they've kept their youthful vibe, I think, without seeming like old guys pretending to be young, which I think is unique. Like, they came out with this announcement video, which is them, like, goofing around, pretending to be, like, newscasters. And it doesn't feel like they're trying too hard or putting on airs or anything. It just feels like these dudes genuinely just, like, love being together, love goofing around, and love, like, chopping it up on stage. And I'm so excited to see Frusciante back in the mix, which is going to be fucking incredible. Like, those first few shows are going to be unreal. And I'm sure they'll come to, I'm sure they'll play some California shows, and I'm sure they'll play some New York shows. So I think we're in for a treat for sure, Karina.
I love it. Let's go. Let's go.
Awesome. Well, I think that about does it for us, KR. Is there anything you want to say before I give the usual put a bow on this thing?
Not so much, Raf. I mean, this feels great. I feel like we talked about bands I like, bands I don't like, venues I like. It's great. It's fantastic. Always a pleasure to rap with you, my friend. And yeah, looking forward to next week.
Absolutely. So we talked about bands you like, bands you don't like, venues you like. Give me a venue you don't like.
Oh, shit. Oh, I hope they close their ears. Damn, what is a venue I don't like?
It's okay. You don't have to.
So many shitty venues. Yeah, They've all just been great.
Karina doesn't
want to
burn any bridges.
Yeah, you know, have me back. Take me back to your terrible club. I'd love to be back there.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, good talk.
Follow Karina on Instagram and all that good stuff to see where she's touring with Marco and with her namesake project. Follow me and Karina on Instagram at 3 from the 7. Email us, rafandkarina@gmail.com. 3 from the 7 is brought to you by Relics Media Group. Our producer is Will Schwerd. Our audio engineer is Sam Lazarev. Subscribe to Relics Magazine while you're at it. Like I mentioned earlier, My Morning Jacket's on the cover. Go to relics.com/MMJ. My name's Raf. That's Karina. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. I hope you get to enjoy some of this crisp fall weather. You know, bake an apple tart. Enjoy a pumpkin latte. You know, don't let people making fun of fall culture keep you down. I enjoy a PSL. I enjoy a pumpkin muffin. Anyway, have a good week, everybody. Bye.